This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Later in the program, we'll talk about how to get out from under all of your stuff and still keep your memories. But first, the city of Hamilton is growing. One major driver of this growth is the Spooky Nook Sports Champion Mill. Its scheduled opening in late March has been delayed, but the $165 million complex does have many concerned about infrastructure, traffic, and safety. Here to talk about how the city is preparing, our Butler County Transportation Improvement District Director, Dan Corey. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
City of Hamilton Assistant Director of Engineering, Alan Messer. Welcome, Alan.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
And Hamilton resident, Keith Rearing. Hello, Keith.
Hello. Good afternoon.
If you have a question or a comment for our guests, you can call us 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. To start out, I'd like to get a sense for what each of you think about the city of Hamilton and have you describe it for people that maybe have never been there or haven't been there in a long time. And Dan, let's start with you.
Yeah, the city of Hamilton has gone through many different phases of its life and maturity. And, you know, it is a community that is around 62,000 right now with a lot of businesses and business activity and the residents there. It is the county seat for Butler County, and it is right in the middle of Butler County, and its primary access to the interstate system is State Route 129. And as you look at it as a transportation practitioner, I would say that arguably one of the issues that always drives the conversation with City of Hamilton is direct connection east-west, and that's because there's a north-south river, Great Miami River, and north-south directionally the railroad tracks run through the city, and that hinders a lot of good conductivity happening east-west, and we'll talk more about that as we go forward in this conversation.
Great, thank you. Alan, tell us how you observe the city, not only from a traffic perspective, but just as a place to be.
Well, I've been with the city about 10 years, and 10 years ago when I first made the switch from consulting to coming to work for the city, people kind of raise their eyebrows and be like, really? But now when I tell people I work for the city of Hamilton, there's a lot of, you know, like, hey, I hear there's a lot going on there. Or, hey, I've driven through there recently. I can't believe all the new stuff that's going up. It's really exciting to see the city being revitalized here in the last 10 years or so. And all the development, Spooky Nook, and even before that, the development that was occurring. When I first started, we'd get, you know, maybe a half dozen plan reviews of like new commercial facilities coming through a year. And lately, I mean, it's just so many, it's hard to keep up with all the new things going on.
Keith, you've lived there a long time. You grew up in Fairfield, I understand, but you've lived in Hamilton a long time. Describe what it's like to live there, what the people are like.
I've been here for 17 years. My family and I decided to set up shop here and make it our home. So I've seen Hamilton just grow and develop over those 17 years. It's exciting to be a part of. It's exciting to watch. And what the future holds is even more exciting. So as a resident, I mean, we have everything you need on High and Main Street. We have our small businesses that are just doing wonderful. The restaurants are great. The nightlife in Markham Park in the springs and summers is just great entertainment for the entire family. We frequent every small business, every facility we can, just because we enjoy it here and we want to support our businesses.
Well, let's talk about the growth, and everybody seems excited about it. So we'll talk about the positives first. And of course, there are some negatives that come with growth or some concerns that come with growth. Dan, maybe you can start out talking about the Spooky Nook Champion Mill. What was the building before it was becoming a sports complex for people that may not be aware?
You know what? Considering I'm with the Butler County Transportation Improvement District, that may be better answered by a city.
Certainly. Alan, do you want to handle that one?
Sure. The name Champion Mill comes from the Champion paper. So it was an old paper mill, one of the largest in the country, built in the late 1800s, and one of a few here in Hamilton that, you know, was the major driver of economic within the city. The mill itself is being redeveloped. If you drive along, if you're familiar with Hamilton and North B Street, the building nearest the river is being gutted and turned into a convention center and hotel. And then the building on the, say, landward side of the river is being partially developed, partially rebuilt, torn down and rebuilt, salvaging the walls of the building and the history that Champion was to Hamilton.
How long has Champion been closed?
I believe it closed around the time I started here in 2010.
So it's been more than a decade that the building has been closed. So, Keith, as a resident, are you happy to see something happening there?
I am ecstatic to see something come in there, and it being the Spooky Nook project is phenomenal. It's what it's going to develop, and not just for the city of Hamilton, but for all of Butler County and Southwest Ohio. It's going to be beneficial to everybody in this region. So it's a big project, and it's a perfect fit for Hamilton.
Let's talk about how big it is. It's one of the biggest sports complexes. It'll be one of the biggest sports complexes in the region. Alan, can you describe a little bit about just how big this is going to be?
Yeah, actually, I believe it's supposed to be the biggest indoor sports complex in the country. It's going to have close to 1 million square feet under roof. I believe it's like 46 volleyball courts going in there, an indoor soccer field, a lot of multi-purpose areas, a 46,000 square foot, I think it is, fitness center and training. It's really big. The convention center component will be second only to the Duke Convention Center in Southwest Ohio in terms of the space available.
So with something that large, it's going to serve more than the people that live in Hamilton and in Butler County. And Dan, with that comes a lot of traffic. So tell us what sorts of things you're dealing with as you are getting ready for a complex this size to open in Hamilton.
Yeah, thank you. We are working on a program of projects. The city and the county always has a capital improvement project list. We're always working on those things. Some projects are locally funded, but sometimes when you get those projects like Brent Spence Bridge or Bridges Over River, you just don't have enough local dollars. So one of the projects that we've been working on is Black Street Bridge. It's a 100-year-old bridge. It's replacing, and it's right near the Spooky Nook facility. And that would allow some direct east-west connection to the west end of the city from I-75 as you come in off 129. So we're working on that project. That project has been looked upon for 20-plus years. Obviously, it's a 100-year-old bridge. It's not going to be able to last forever. And then when you look at a bridge over a great Miami River like this, you're always looking at all the surrounding streets that lead to that bridge. We're trying to look at 12 different alternative alignments that directly connect the state routes 4 over to what we call B Street, which is what feeds Spooky Nook. And so we're looking at those projects. And again, because it's over a river, and also it's going to either have an overpass or an underpass of that railroad system that I mentioned to you earlier, those elements make it be pretty expensive. Our process is to go through the federal funding process that has a lot of public involvement. And that's where Keith came in. One of the things we are talking to is all the different folks that this project impacts through a stakeholder meeting process to make sure we address it appropriately. But I would just mention that this project, what we call North Hamilton Crossing, actually was well in its way before Spooky Nook came. So North, what we're working on is not a response to Spooky Nook, but it actually coincides or happened to come along. It does. Spooky Nook and all the activity that Alan mentioned does give us opportunities to go after those state and federal funds, because oftentimes part of that criteria is economic activity, and you get points for those projects that can associate itself with economic activity. So the capital improvement projects, we look at them all, we're working on them all the time, and it just so happened that there was enough things that made us begin to charge on North Hamilton Crossing. We've also worked on projects like South Hamilton Crossing over the years. So we continue to work on the program, but this one we're focused on, and it is associated with all the activity going on the west side of Hamilton.
And Keith, you've had some input on this.
Yeah, I'm part of the stakeholders committee. We had our first meeting a little over a month ago. It was very informative. We have great leadership running this committee, and it's beneficial to be a part of. I'm able to get the word out to my neighbors through social media platforms that I utilize, and word of mouth, just going door to door.
So do you find that people are really interested? Do they want to know and do want to participate in this, or just sort of closing their eyes to it?
I think as the next meeting takes place and then they open them up to more public settings, we will be able to inform and advise our neighbors and residents more thoroughly. Right now, I do feel that it's hard to get the word out. I mean, we're using the media sources we have, but I think as this project takes another step or two, we'll be getting the word out much more and easier to everybody.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We continue our discussion about growth in Hamilton, the good and the bad. My guests are Butler County Transportation Improvement District Director Dan Corey, City of Hamilton Assistant Director of Engineering Alan Messer, and Hamilton resident Keith Rearing. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Keith, you were talking about getting residents involved, and there are some public input sessions scheduled. When are those happening, Keith or Dan or anybody who wants to answer that one?
Yeah, so Marianne, we did have an initial public input session, kind of verifying what the needs were in the area. We had approximately 1,600 people that participate in that survey. It was virtual. It was kind of in the midst of COVID, and we are planning another public meeting. Most likely in April, along with another 30-day virtual participation period to talk more to it. But in that initial input session, approximately 93% of the people that responded agreed with the project needs that had been set out, and that is to reduce congestion, improve traffic flow, improve the east-west connectivity, like Dan mentioned earlier, provide a new bridge to accommodate current and future demands, and a grade separated, meaning an overpass or underpass separation or crossing of the railroad.
So those are really some of the biggest problems you're contending with, and Dan, you've talked about those as well. Are those the main issues? Are there other infrastructure issues you have concern with, or the feasibility study found?
Dan, those are the main issues that North Hamilton Crossing is dealing with, and we are even including things like trying to provide pedestrian and bike ways, and there are other elements to this, but the purpose and need statement has been written. That's a living document. These are a lot of vernaculars that we use in the transportation practitioner world, but we will go through a public process. We will continue refining the purpose and need, or basically the goals and objectives, maybe another way of saying that, of the project, and we are getting public input and public stakeholder input. And just to mention real quick, the difference between public involvement and public stakeholders, the public involvement is for everyone. We always encourage input from everyone and anyone in the world. The public stakeholders just happen to be those core group of people that are going to be directly associated with this project, whether it be a property owner or whether it be a hospital or the 911 services. Those types of people are in those public stakeholders meetings.
You mentioned bike paths, and I know our listeners are always intrigued when anything comes up about bikes. So what are some of the options you're thinking about?
We are trying to determine the option with the existing Black Street Bridge, whether it could be structurally sound enough to continue providing pedestrian bikeway for it. It obviously is useful life is expiring in the next decade, a decade and a half on car, vehicular, and truck live loads, but could it be left? Once we find a route, what opportunities does that route provide, both with the existing City of Hamilton multi-use pass system, as well as the counties? I know the city has been working diligently in their multi-use pass throughout the city, and I know there's a great trail system that runs along the Great Miami River, so obviously we'd be looking at opportunities to tie into that as well.
So it could be a big connection then, so people could bike quite long distances if you are able to work that out.
Correct. And we're keeping all those things on the table as we appropriately step through the process.
Keith, do you find that your neighbors and others that you talk to in Hamilton are interested in things like a bike trail?
I myself use it. My son and I bike it from Hamilton all the way into Fairfield several times a week. It's a beautiful ride along the river. An out and back trail. It would be wonderful to see this connect farther up in the middle town or just have better bike trails throughout the cities. City of Hamilton is very walkable now for most neighborhoods. My neighborhood doesn't have great access. So I'm hoping that these infrastructure improvements can create that access for us to better walk and bike throughout our city.
How long will all of that take? The whole process of all of this, I know Spooky Nook was supposed to open in March and now that's been delayed. But it sounds like the traffic congestion could come before the solutions do. Alan, can you address that at all?
Yeah, and really the traffic congestion exists today. This project that we're talking about, our traffic operations manager pulled out a memo that had been written back in 2007 that identified kind of the major needs at that time. Pretty much everything on that memo could be checked off at this point. The South Hamilton Crossing project that the city did as a partnership with the TID, some intersection improvements here at MLK and High Street, a number of other ones, but it was identified the congestion on High Street even at that time was significant, and we were looking at a new overpass or underpass somewhere north of High Street to relieve that congestion, and a new river crossing to replace Black Street Bridge. The Black Street Bridge, besides being 100 years old, is only two lanes wide, and there's not a practical means of widening that. We really need four or five lanes across the river. And today, when trains pass through town, there's really only the High Street underpass that allows people to get across the railroad tracks when those trains are there, which is, as we found in the study, 15% of the time the crossings are blocked by a train. So this overpass or underpass associated with North Hamilton Crossing would pull some of that traffic off of High Street that's currently there. The Spooky Nook complex itself is not the primary driver of this. It is accelerating the interest in the project, but that traffic by itself is somewhere in the order of a couple years of traffic growth that we've already seen.
What caused that growth? What caused that growth initially?
A lot of the High Street traffic has been there for decades, but the the redevelopment that's occurred in the town, I would think, is one of the primary drivers. In fact, the traffic study done for this project was done in 2020, and that was in the midst of COVID. And at the time, most people doing traffic studies, the state was allowing you to add a multiplier because the traffic levels were down so much because of COVID. Our counts were actually higher than a few years before, even in the midst of the pandemic. So it's just, even without Spooky Nook, there's a huge need for this project.
What will it cost? And I don't know if Dan or Alan, which one of you is better to answer this, but to do this overpass or underpass for a railroad and to fix the bridge and so many of the different plans that you have in place to try to deal with the traffic, how much will that cost and where will that money come from?
I'll try to answer that, Alan, and you can add in. Dan here, we'll be looking, as I mentioned, this project is too expensive for local funding sources. At the county and city level, obviously, we'll do some matching of funds, what you call local funding matches, and then we'll seek federal funds and state funds. We right now, to date, we have received $2 million of state funds through TRAC, which is a state-ran program through their transportation department. And then we've matched that with $2 million of local dollars. So, we're $4 million into the planning and engineering dollars. Once we find an alignment, we'll identify some of the right-of-way and the cost. But each one of those alignments, there's a pretty wide array of dollars. So I don't want to guess here quite yet. In about 3 months, we'll have a more defined answer to that. But I will mention that phase one and what we call phase one and phase two, phase one from B Street to 127, phase two from 127 to Route 4, those are the two areas that we're focusing in on. And we believe that the infrastructure bill that recently passed gives us some opportunities due to the criteria that the infrastructure bill is looking for, which is a lot of what they call good repair. And that is replacement of existing systems and trying to work within the right-of-way and within the repairing and continuing to enhance existing roadway networks. That's what this project's doing. And so we'll be in good position to get some of those federal and state funds that were being passed down through that infrastructure bill. And then after that, we'll just have to come up with it here locally. And so the city has been doing and the county has been doing a good job of committing funds to keep the project moving to date. And the timing of those funds and the availability of those funds will drive how fast we can get this project done. Typically, you apply for funding and that's sometimes as much as 4 to 6 years out.
So it could be a little while before this is dealt with. You're just in the beginning stages.
Yes.
Mid stages.
Yes.
We are almost out of time. Any final words, Keith? Any final words as a resident?
No, just looking forward to it. I know the city of Hamilton will do this correctly, do it right. If we don't do this correctly, we're going to regret it 20 years down the road. And we have great leadership here. So it's going to be a project, but in the end, we will all benefit from it.
Alan, you have 10 seconds.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And for anybody that's from outside the area and hasn't been through Hamilton the last 5 or 10 years, I'd encourage you to come through and kind of see what's happening for yourself.
Thank you all so much for being here. I really appreciate it. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Engineer for today's show is Josh Elstro. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.